Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, as I begin, I want to tell you about two old friends that met each other on the street one day. The one looked terribly sad. He was almost on the verge of tears. And his friend asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" Well, the sad fellow replied and he said, "Oh, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me 50,000 rand. Wow, that's a lot of money. Oh, but you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and he left me 100,000 rand. What?" the man said, "It sounds to me like you've been incredibly blessed." "Oh, no, 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 but you don't understand," the man interrupted. He said, "Just last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost 1 million rand. Well, now the man's friend was very confused and he said, well, why do you look so sad?" To which the man responded and he said, "This week, nothing." Well, that's a funny story, but I think it also paints a very real picture of how many people go through life, always finding something to complain about, never feeling like they have enough, and always believing that things are working against them. And so rather than being thankful for the many blessings they have, instead, they complain about all the things they don't have and are therefore unable to enjoy the many good things that God has blessed them with and brought into their lives. A man by the name of Henry Ward Beecher, who was an American pastor and social reformer, once rightly said that the unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but the thankful heart sweeps through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessings. Today I want to speak to you on the power of a thankful heart, the power of a thankful heart. You know, our world has changed a lot since the start of this year. In fact, this time last year, I don't think anyone could have predicted that things would be the way they are now. Everyone's life has been impacted and there's a lot we've had to change in our own lives. You know, all our daily routines have had to change. Many people haven't been able to work and earn an income as they normally would have. People have taken strain in their relationships, some in their finances, others have become sick. Most parents have had to homeschool their kids for a period of time. And of course, we haven't been able to gather as a church in our buildings either. And unfortunately, many people just haven't coped well with the way things are and are still struggling to accept that for now, this is our new normal. You know, for some, the past 4 months have been one long complaining session about all that is wrong and all that is unfair. I think also many people in our country also perhaps let out a huge groan last Sunday night when our president announced that alcohol sales are banned again, because, you know, I think for some people it's their coping mechanism and the way that they try to get through the season. But I believe that there's a better way to not just get by during the season, but to actually flourish and to keep moving forward. It's called thankfulness. I want us to read together from Luke chapter 17, and here we see a powerful example of how our lives are impacted when we live with gratitude towards God and we begin to be truly thankful for what we have. Luke 17 from verse 11 in the Living Bible says, "As they continued onward toward Jerusalem, they reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as they entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, 'Jesus, sir, have mercy on us.' He looked at them and said, 'Go to the Jewish priest and show him that you are healed.' And as they were going, the Bible says, their leprosy disappeared. One of them came back to Jesus shouting, 'Glory to God, I'm healed.' He fell flat on the ground in front of Jesus, face downward in the dust, thanking him for what he had done. The man was a despised Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus asked, 'Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?' And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'" You know, a thankful heart is a powerful characteristic to have because firstly, as we see, it gets the attention of Jesus. You know, here we see that there were 10 men who were all afflicted with a terrible disease. You know, back in those days, leprosy really was like a life sentence. There was no cure for it, and it was a slow and terrible way for a person to die. As a leper, you also lived in complete isolation. In a leper colony, you were away from people who didn't have it, and you were really viewed as unclean because it was so contagious, and because of that, you were treated as an outcast with no hope of redemption. You were effectively sent away to die. Many people in that time even viewed leprosy as God's judgment upon people. But one day, Jesus passes by the leper colony, and these 10 lepers stand at a distance, crying out to Jesus, begging for mercy. The Bible says that he heals all 10 of them, but only one man comes back to thank Jesus. Now, we don't know why the others didn't come back. Perhaps they were, busy celebrating their renewed health, or maybe they even just forgot to come back. And I think that's very often what we're guilty of. We cry out to God, we believe, we pray, we get our breakthrough, but then often we forget to thank Him for the answers to our prayers. But the Bible says that Jesus noticed the one who came back and thanked him, and it got his attention. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian during World War II who stood up to Adolf Hitler, and he once said, "He who forgets the language of gratitude is not likely to be on speaking terms with God." You know, I find that the easiest way to get God's attention is simply to begin to thank Him. I think for many Christians, our prayer lives can sometimes feel dry, almost as if nothing is happening. And we want to draw close to God, but it often feels like He's just out of reach of us, almost like we're not experiencing His presence in our lives. But I think the best way to get His attention and to sense His presence is very often just by giving thanks to Him for as many things as you can think of. I think it's fair to say many of us are far better at asking God for things that we don't have than we are at thanking Him for what we already do have. In Psalm 50, verse 14, the writer says, "Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God." Then, notice that word then. Then's a very important word because it means everything that comes after it is based on us having done everything before it. So, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God. Then, call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, says the Lord, and you will give me glory. You know, the Bible tells us that the best way to approach God is to come to Him with a thankful heart, acknowledging His goodness, acknowledging His kindness and His provision and all the wonderful things He does for us. And then once we've done that, when we call on Him for what we need, He responds to us with favor and He brings breakthrough into our lives. Another thing about a thankful heart is that it brings healing and wholeness into our lives. You know, I think people often read the story of the 10 lepers and can misinterpret what actually takes place. You know, you can read the story and think, well, all 10 called out to Jesus and all 10 got healed of their leprosy. So what's the big deal about this one man? You know, why was it so important for him to come back to Jesus and thank Him? I mean, he already got his breakthrough. He wasn't sick anymore. And it seems that his situation was really no different from the other 9. But actually, there was a big difference in the outcome. In verse 17, Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the 9? The word the Bible uses for heal to describe the initial healing of all 10 is the Greek word katarizo, and it literally means to cleanse or purify. That refers to the actual physical healing that took place. All 10 had leprosy, and all 10 were now physically healed. But in verse 19, the Bible says that the one man came back to Jesus and thanked Him. Well, he received a different kind of healing as well. Jesus had said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." That term "made well" is the Greek word sozo, and it refers to more than just physical healing. It also means to deliver, to make whole, and to save. You see, this one man was not only physically healed of the leprosy that had ravaged his body for so long, but he was also made whole in the process. Why? Because we are body, soul, and spirit, and our physical conditions are very much tied to our emotional well-being as well. And very often people who go through physical suffering sometimes then carry a whole lot of emotional baggage through life too, as well as many spiritual issues. You know, that's why people who have gone through illness can often become resentful towards God and carry much bitterness through life, because we are emotionally and spiritually impacted through what our physical bodies go through. But when this man came to Jesus to give thanks to him, Jesus restored him emotionally by making him well. He removed the baggage that he may well have carried forward with him in life. He sets him free from the rejection that he's endured from being an outcast. Jesus then also removes the stigma that he's carried from all the verbal abuse that has been hurled at him. Jesus basically heals him emotionally as well as physically, but in the process, he also saves the man from his sins. That word sozo also means to save. Basically, the one leper gets the whole package deal. You know, it would be a bit like someone blessing you with business class flights to an international exotic island destination. Now that on its own would be amazing, but because you then make an effort to show how truly thankful and appreciative you were, they decide to throw in 3 weeks luxury accommodation as well, plus all the meals and drinks included as well. You see, this one leper was fully restored in body, soul, and spirit, all because he came back to Jesus with a thankful heart. You know, scientific research has also shown the immense benefits that living with a thankful heart have on our physical well-being. A man by the name of Robert Emmons, who is an American professor and psychologist, he's also what they call a gratitude researcher. He's conducted multiple studies on the link between thankfulness and our well-being. And his research has shown that thankfulness reduces a whole range of what he calls toxic emotions in us. Things such as envy, resentment, frustration, and even regret. And his research confirms that thankfulness effectively increases our levels of happiness. So if you want to be happier, be more thankful. And it also reduces depression. And it turns out that thankfulness also helps people manage stress better. A 2012 study by the University of Kentucky showed that people who showed high levels of thankfulness were also less likely to retaliate against others, even when they were given negative feedback. They also experienced more sensitivity and empathy towards other people, as well as a decreased desire to seek revenge. And then a 2011 study published in the Applied Psychology Health and Well-being section showed that people who spend just 15 minutes a day jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, well, they will sleep better and they will also sleep longer as well. On November the 4th, 2010, a lady by the name of Eunice Sanborn became the world's oldest living person. She earlier in the year celebrated her 114th birthday. And of course, she was asked the question, well, how she had managed to live so long and also how she had stayed healthy as well. Well, Eunice simply put it down to the fact that she had decided early on in her life that she would not complain about things, but would instead choose to be thankful for all that she had received. Never forget that God is not glorified by our moaning and complaining, but He's glorified when we give thanks to Him, and we also see the benefit in our physical bodies as well. Another thing about a thankful heart is that it shows honor and appreciation to God and others. You know, the one leper that came back to Jesus showed him honor by responding to him with a thankful heart. The other 9 may well have been thankful, but they didn't express it. And I think honor is always something that must involve some form of action. You know, it can't just be a thought or an idea, but it requires a response to people and to God. And I think one of the best ways that we can honor someone is by showing appreciation and verbally acknowledging that we are thankful to them. In Psalm 69, verse 30, the writer says, "Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving." I think our thankfulness towards God shows Him honor, and it lets Him know that we appreciate Him and what He does for us. Now, of course, God doesn't need our thanksgiving. It's not like He's incomplete without it. But think about it this way. As a parent, there are very few things more endearing than one of your kids coming up to you, putting their arms around you and thanking you for something that you've done for them. You know, kids by nature often don't say thank you when they should, and they can sometimes even expect that, you know, because you're the parent and they're the kid, that you owe them and you should be doing all these things for them. And I think even when we approach God, sometimes maybe we come to Him that way, believing that because we're Christians that, well, now He owes us and it's His duty to make sure that we get what we want. But like any parent, God responds favorably to honor and appreciation that is shown to Him by those who are truly grateful for what He has done. You know, I think being grateful doesn't just require us to be thankful for our salvation, but really for everything that He does for us. I believe it blesses the Lord's heart when we thank Him on a regular basis for all He does. And perhaps it's maybe even the equivalent of us who are His children, putting our arms around His neck and giving Him a big hug. The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse 12, I will give thanks to You with all my heart, O Lord my God. I will honor You forever because Your mercy toward me is great. You have rescued me from the depths of hell. You know, if you can't find anything to thank God for, well, just start by giving Him thanks for the fact that He's made it possible for us to be saved from a lost eternity and spared from the eternal suffering and separation from His presence. You know, never forget, you and I are the recipients of God's incredible grace. Let Him be the recipient of our heartfelt thanks and appreciation. Another thought regarding a thankful heart is that it is the catalyst for miracles. George Mueller was a German evangelist. He was a man of great faith. And in the late 1800s, he ran an orphanage that at one time housed more than 1,000 orphans. One morning, there was no food at all to eat. And so what he did was he called all the children and the staff together and they began to pray. But very intentionally, they began by thanking God for the provision of food, even though there was no food on the table. Well, anyway, a few minutes later, a baker knocked on the door and he told George Mueller that God had laid it on his heart the previous night already to bake bread and deliver it to the orphanage. Well, before the bread was even handed out, there was another knock on the door and it was the milkman. He said that his truck had broken down and rather than having the milk going to waste, he thought maybe the orphanage could benefit from it. You see, when we thank God in advance, even before receiving the breakthrough, not only does it show God honor, but it also reveals an incredibly high level of faith on our part. And therefore, our thankfulness becomes the catalyst for God to do the supernatural. You know, you might remember that when Jesus fed the 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish, right before the miracle took place, the Bible actually says the following in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. It says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, He, that being Jesus, gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then He gave them to His disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. Jesus already gave thanks before the miracle took place. I wonder, where do you need a miracle or a big breakthrough in life today? You know, it's so easy to complain about all the things that are wrong and all the things that we don't have yet. But I firmly believe that if we can begin to change how we approach God, that we will begin to see God working and intervening in our circumstances and in our lives in ways that we cannot do on our own. You know, today, if you are unemployed, rather than complaining and saying that there's no jobs, perhaps begin to thank God for the job that He's making available, especially for you. You know, if you're sick in your body, rather than complaining, and I know it's difficult when your body is sore, maybe begin to thank God already for your healing and for a healthy future. If your marriage is falling apart, perhaps begin to thank God for your spouse rather than always moaning about all the things they don't do and all the things that they don't get right. If you need to make important decisions today, well, start by thanking God that He's made wisdom available to us. And if you desire to own your own home one day, but maybe you're still renting a property currently, well, perhaps you need to start thanking God that one day you will own a house of your own. You know, the truth is that there will always be something that we can complain about. But there is great power when we begin to give thanks to God, even for that which we haven't seen the breakthrough in yet. Frank Clark was a famous American lawyer and politician, and he once very famously said, "If a fellow isn't thankful for what he's got, he isn't likely to be thankful for what he's going to get." Let me give you one more thought about a thankful heart. It changes our perspective on life, people, and God. You know, in the 366-day daily devotional that I wrote, I share a personal account of what took place when Yannette and I were at Bible College at Hillsong Church in Australia. It was halfway through our first year of college, and we were given a very small connect group to run. We started with four people that excluded ourselves, but you know, the reality is that on any given night, there would never be more than one or two of the four that would turn up. You know, we'd set our chairs, Yannette would sometimes bake eats and treats, we'd sometimes buy them, we'd prepare the message, but the night always ended up being very awkward with zero atmosphere. And I actually became resentful in my heart and, you know, started dreading these connect group nights, even secretly hoping that no one would turn up, which, by the way, did happen a few times. And of course, I complained bitterly to the Lord about these people. I was very negative about the whole matter, but I never forget one day the Lord challenged me to begin to thank Him for the privilege of being able to lead these people. And so rather than complaining, we began to thank Him for entrusting these people to us. I humbled myself, I changed my heart towards this connect group, and within a year, we had an absolutely thriving connect group that everyone now wanted to be a part of. And eventually, we ran out of space in our small apartment. We had to turn many people away. But our breakthrough came the moment we stopped complaining and we started thanking God. God changed our perspective on these people and also on what had been placed in our hands. And I believe that breakthrough is always found on the other side of our thanksgiving to God. You know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul tells us to be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, today, no matter what you are going through, no matter how bad things might look, no matter what the circumstances around you might be, can I encourage you to find something to be thankful to God for? Because as you begin to give thanks, God begins to work in your situation. And the truth is that sometimes it's not even the situation that needs to change, but simply our perspective on what is happening around us. You know, often we mistakenly believe that it's happy people who are thankful. You know, in other words, if more good things happened to me or more good things went in my favor, well, then I'd really be happy. But friend, life doesn't work like that. I've realized that it's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. If today you're not as happy as you'd like to be, or maybe you're not as blessed as you want to be, maybe it's just time to start giving thanks to God for all the good things you have in your life, and also stop comparing yourself to what others have or what don't have, because that's very often the source of much of the misery that we experience in life. We see someone with something that we don't have, and immediately we go from being perfectly content to feeling like we're missing out on something. I think it's far better just to get down on your knees, come before God with a grateful heart, and maybe even do something as simple and practical as making a list of as many things as you can think of that you have to be grateful for. You know, this morning when I woke up, I realized again how much I have in my own life that I have to be thankful for. Firstly, I actually woke up for a start. You know, these days many people don't wake up in the morning. They die in their sleep. I woke up and I had breath in my lungs. I woke up in a warm bed next to my gorgeous wife, who always looks amazing, even when she wakes up. It's amazing. You know, I woke up with a roof over my head. I had hot water for a shower. I had clean clothes that I could change into. I was able to have breakfast, and I had the choice of many different breakfast foods to choose from. I had a great coffee from an espresso machine. I could hear the noise and the laughter of my four beautiful children who themselves are happy and healthy. I have teeth that I can brush and hair that I can comb. You know, at my age at 47, these things we can't always take for granted anymore. I'm part of a great church. I've got amazing leaders and work colleagues. I have online church to watch, even though we can't gather physically. I have friends and family. I'm loved by God. He's forgiven me all my sins. I have an eternity in heaven to look forward to. And all these things I've mentioned, by the way, were just in the first hour of today, things that I've realized I can be thankful for. Let me just say this. Your life and your circumstances are better than you think they are. Begin to thank God regularly for what you do have and see how giving thanks will change your perspective, and then you can believe God to bring into your life all that you need for the future. The best-selling author Sarah Ban Bretnach once said that you will simply not be the same person 2 months from now after consciously giving thanks each day for the abundance that exists in your life. And you will have set in motion an ancient spiritual law. The more you have and are grateful for, the more will be given to you. You know, as we come to a close, I read a beautiful story this week about a church from North Carolina that sent a mission team to a leper colony on the Caribbean island of Tobago. The team met obviously with a lot of people who were afflicted by leprosy, and during one particular church service, the lepers all came in and took their seats towards the back of the church. They began to sing hymns together. The pastor of this group was a man named Jack, and Jack said that all the lepers in the service were facing him forwards, except for one leper who was sitting on the back row, and she was facing the opposite direction. You know, at the end of the service, Pastor Jack announced and he said, "Look, we've got time for one more hymn. Does anyone have a favorite?" And he said it was about this time that the leprous lady on the back row who was facing away from him turned around for the first time in the service. And when she looked at him, the pastor said that she was the most hideous sight that he had ever seen in a human being. And that was because of how the leprosy had eaten away at her body. This lady had no nose. She had no lips. Her head, he said, was almost like a skull. And when she raised her arm in the air, well, she had no hand. There was just a short stub there. The leprosy had completely ravaged her body. But this leprous lady on the back row called out from the back and she said to him, "Could we sing my favorite song? It's called Count Your Blessings." And the pastor recounted at that moment how the presence of God began to fill that building in a way that he or his team had never experienced before. And they then sang the words to that song. Some of you would know it. The words go, "When upon life's billows, you are tempest-tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done." Friend, if a leprous lady on the island of Tobago with relatively nothing to be thankful for had as her favorite song, "Count Your Many Blessings," well, how much more can you and I be thankful to God for His many, many blessings? You know, the leper who came to Jesus for healing was truly thankful for what he received, and the Lord gave him so much more. He was made well, he was made whole, and he was also set free from his sins. I'm going to pray in a moment for people to respond to God for the forgiveness of sins that He's made available to us through Jesus. You know, Jesus not only heals people from physical conditions and ailments, but He also does what no one else can do. He frees us from sin. And sin does to the soul what leprosy does to the body. It ravages and destroys our souls and results in eternal separation from God. But Jesus, thank God, He died on a Roman cross. And when His blood was shed, He paid the price in full for the sins of anyone who would come to Him with a thankful heart and receive the salvation that He has made available. Would you open your heart to Jesus today and receive Him as Lord of your life? Let's pray together. Father God, I come to You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that You died on the cross for my sins to make me new and make me whole. Today I open my heart to You. Jesus, I confess you as Lord, and I believe that you were raised from the dead. The Bible says, because of that decision, I'm saved. I'm set free from my sins. I have a hope and a future. Thank you that you wash away all my sin. Today I'm a new creation, and I surrender to you in full. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.